I encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and let's turn together to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, and I'm going to begin a series during the month of January on our Sunday nights that we have together. And I'm going to be looking at the subject of learning lessons from the Apostle Paul and how to deal with things that are out of our control. I think all of us understand and know that much of life is without a doubt out of our control. I can't control the government of the United States. I cannot control the government of Milton. I can go through and try. I can appear and I can talk to my legislators, but very rarely does that affect. Sometimes it does, but most times it's out of our control. We can't control the weather. Now, wouldn't that be nice if you could just turn on the universal thermostat and control what the weather's going to be? Say, I think I'd like a nice balmy day today, and then you just do that. No, that's not in my realm of control. Much of the things that happen in life are out of our control. But how we respond to those things is within our control. And we're going to learn from Acts chapter 27, and I've spent some time going through this particular chapter because it has been so instructive. I try to read through the book of Acts at least twice a year because there are so many lessons to be learned from the life of Peter, from the life of the Apostle Paul, and their ministry outreach, the things that they faced. Both of them were imprisoned. Both of them dealt with things outside of the realm of their control, and yet God use them in a powerful way, and they responded rightly in those situations where they had no control, and God just undertook. Peter was in prison. God sent an earthquake and got him out. Same thing with Paul. The Lord undertook for His servants in a very powerful way with things outside of their control. I want us to look at chapter 27 tonight. We're going to read through some of the passages here. I'm going to start at verse 9. Of chapter 27 as we begin reading. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Now remember, Paul is on his way where? He's going to Rome. He's going to have to go before Julius Caesar. And he has been put on a boat that he didn't pay passage for. Alright? Have you ever had somebody else plan your trip for you? That's always fun. I've always wondered about people that go to the Holy Land and they have their whole trip planned out for them. Does it always work out like you want it to? I remember a friend of mine went to the Holy Land back when they were having the violence that was there. And there was a couple of bus bombings that took place. And so they shut down the bus lines all throughout the country, which meant the end of their Middle East adventure. They couldn't go anywhere. Their transportation was through buses, and they were trying to find out who these people were. They found out a group of Palestinians that were working within the country, but it shut down their trip, and so they had to go get back on an airplane and fly back to the United States because they weren't able to travel. They weren't able to move around. It was out of their what? Control. They had paid good money for a trip, but sometimes things happen. Dr. Wiebe, who was the leader of the American Association of Christian Schools, was given a trip to Scotland for he and his wife as a gift for leading the association for many years as the president. They flew, they set the plans, they flew to Scotland, and as soon as they landed, they had to take his wife to a hospital because she had dizzy spells and vertigo and so forth, and they said she has a brain tumor. You're going to have to go back to the States. And so they got her on the next plane and they flew back. They didn't get to do their Scottish excursion together. As a matter of fact, it was months and months and months of treatments and so forth, and she passed away. Now, you know, it would be exciting for a husband and wife to be able to do things, but sometimes things are out of our control. And how we responded, and Brother Wiebe was so gracious, and he said this was of the Lord. This was what revealed what was going on with my wife. We had seen some things and we were concerned about things, but didn't know for sure what it was. And it was revealed because of this trip to Scotland, which we spent a total of 5 hours in Scotland at the airport after going to the doctor there, came back to the airport, headed back out again. There are a lot of things in life, Christian, that are outside the realm of our control. Paul is on a boat, and he's heading to Rome, and he is going to face a whole onslaught of things outside the realm of his control. But there are some lessons that we can learn together from this passage of Scripture that will help us. And so in verse 9, they're on board the ship, and things start to get dangerous. All right. How many of you have been on a ship in a storm? Anybody here? All right. I know you served in the military, so I know that you spent a lot of time having to ride out hurricanes and ships and things of that nature. When did you face it, Brother Don?
In Cambodia.
Yes. Not exactly smooth sailing.
Exactly.
Right. And there was nothing you could do about it, was there? Not a thing in the world you could do about it. So things are getting dangerous for Paul here. And, verse 10, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Then he learned something about humanity. You can't control how other people are going to respond to your helpful comments. How many times have you been hurt because you gave a helpful comment to somebody and they took it wrong or they just didn't pay any attention to it and you walked around feeling bad because your wisdom was not appreciated? What happened on this ship? Everything that Paul said was going to happen, the lading, the supplies, and people, except God spared them, all right, happened. And he had warned them, I believe we're going to have trouble, and they didn't pay any attention. Notice this, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. All right? No control over how they were going to respond. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. How often does it seem like, oh, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. I'm glad we didn't listen to him. Look how everything is going so smoothly. There's a south wind that's blowing softly. But what happens? Notice this, please. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they'd obtained their purpose, verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. What an interesting name there, Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away out of their control. All hope had been taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort, it's one of those I told you so moments. I've heard so many times, you should never say I told you so. Well, Paul didn't listen to that advice. He was the one that stood up in their midst and said, I told you so. Now what are we going to do? Listen. Verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Oh, that's something that goes over really well in the midst of a storm, and they're throwing everything overboard. Hey, everybody, be of good cheer. You want to do up and slap him, right? What are you talking about? We're going to die. It's like somebody, when a plane is out of control and crashing to the ground and said, Everybody be of good cheer, right? No problems here. Be of good cheer. They'd be throwing him out of the airplane before they hit the ground. Nobody wants to hear that, but he gave that to them. He said, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it should be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. He tells them, we're going to be cast upon an island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that we drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So they're coming close to a shore. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. What a statement. You got to stay in the ship if you want to be saved. There's a biblical truth there. We won't take time to go into that, but you got to be in the good ship Zion, the Lord's ship. If you try to get out, you're going to be lost. You must be aboard that ship. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now, what do you notice about Paul here? Does he look like a man who's nervous and about to die? Scared to death? No. He's trusting in the Lord in the midst of the storm after 14 days, resting in the Lord that he's going to take care of him. Hey, eat! Eat something! You're going to need it for what's about to happen. Then were they all of good cheer, verse 36, and they also took some meat, and we were in all in the ship 260 souls. So we're not talking about just a handful here. There's a lot of folks on board. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek within a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel, now get this, all of a sudden this appears, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save who? That's important. Willing to save Paul. Of all the prisoners on board, Paul, we're going to save him, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, what I've just shared with you in these verses are situations that were out of the control of the people that were on board that ship. There was nothing that they could do to stop this typhoon that was storming. Nothing that they could do to save the ship. It was going to be destroyed. But there was a man on board that calmed them down, made sure they had something to eat, and gave them truth. And we're going to see, as we get into the next chapter, in chapter 28, which we're not going to do tonight, we're going to see how God preserved Paul. He gets bit by a snake and just shakes it off into the fire and goes on. The people are like, what in the world? That's the most poisonous snake on the island, and it didn't hurt him. There are things, folks, that you and I can do. I want to give you just a thought here before we get started. It's called the Matthew 6:27 principle. And we need to learn this. One of the greatest lessons of my life, and I learned this as a teenager, because I wanted to be 6'4". All right? Now, I've got one son that just about made it, just shy of 6'4", Jonathan. But I didn't make it. I made it to 5'8", and I stopped. And, you know, every boy wants to be strong. I remember Dave Johnson used to have an old tan Datsun station wagon. We used to ride with him to school. He'd come drop off the young kids at mom's, and we would ride in the car going there. And on the back of it says, when I grow up, I want to be a semi, right? It was stuck on the back of this little tiny station wagon. When I grow up, I want to be a semi. Well, when I grew up, I wanted to be 6'4". What does Matthew 6:27 say? No matter how hard you try, you cannot add to your height by thinking about it. You cannot add to your height. You know, you hear about these Hollywood stars are always ordering these special hijacker shoes to make them look taller than they really are, you know. That's something you can try to do, but when you take your shoes off, you're your regular height, right? You're still whatever you are. You cannot add to your height by thinking about it. Why? Because it's out of your control. You can't change your height. You can't change that no matter how hard you think about it and try. I want to be 6'4". Doesn't work. I tried. My mom would allow me to make ice cream shakes, and I'd put chocolate in there. I was going to put on weight. I was the lightest kid in my class. When I graduated from high school, I weighed 120 pounds, and I was so excited. Because all through high school, I was hovering between 99 and 100. 99 and 100. Finally, I went over 100. Woo! And then I caught up with mom. And then finally, in my senior year, 120. And by the way, when I went off to college at Bob Jones, I weighed 154. So I'd actually gained some weight during those. I was just lagging behind everybody else. But my height did not change from my ninth grade year. I reached my height in ninth grade. And that was it. No more. Oh, I'd hear the positive talk from Dad. Hey, you're going to be taller than me. I think you're going to be taller than me. I didn't make it. I tried. You remember from the Andy Griffith Show about Barney that tried to be taller? They had some requirements or something that he had to meet, state requirement. And he went into this closet, and he bought this thing, and he put it on his neck, and he strung it up inside the closet. And he was hanging in there when Andy came in there. You know, what are you doing, Barn? I'm going to be taller. He said, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to hang yourself right here in this closet. You're not going to grow another inch. Well, somehow he finally made the height requirement. I don't know if he stuffed toilet paper in his shoes. That's what he did, if I remember the show correctly. But, you know, no matter how hard you try, folks, there are some things out of your control. Can you deal with that? Some people are control freaks. They got to control everything and try to micromanage everything about life. Let me tell you something. That's a fool's errand. What do you need to do? You need to respond rightly. You need to respond rightly. I remember years and years ago, Dr. Hobbs said, listen, you're going to deal with all kinds of problems out here. You're going to be cussed out by people. You're going to be, they're going to say all kinds of things. Just keep your cool. Keep your hands to yourself and keep your cool. And that was one of the greatest advice. I was out on field four. I had to walk out onto a field. This was back in the late 80s to remove a coach that was being abusive with an umpire with his mouth. And so I walked out there and said, coach, you're done. Go off the field. He refused to go. I said, well, we can forfeit the game. We can do that. He said, you can't do that. And he came over and shoved me. All right? Now, he was a lot bigger than me. And I said, boy, we've gotten into it now. But it was amazing. I had about 8 people that came running out on the field and got between me and him. And one of them was bigger than he was. He said, buddy, you better get moving or I'm going to deck you out to your car. And I picked myself up, brushed myself off. He said, are you all right, Mr. Brainerd? Now, I didn't weigh 150 pounds. This guy was 250, tall, big, and whatever. But I didn't argue with him. I just said, sir, you're leaving. And those people walked the man out to his car to make sure he didn't come back into the park, and he never came back ever again. He was done. Now, how you respond to things out of your control makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. One of the men that came out onto the field after I got pushed to the ground by this coach, came back 10 years later. He said, Mr. Brainerd, do you remember that day? I said, I sure do. You don't forget those kind of things that happen to you. I said, boy, I was young back then, and I should have probably gotten about 7 or 8 men to go out there and tell him to get off the field. But I just walked out there and told him to get himself off the field. And he said, listen, I want you to know something. You handled that in such a way that was well beyond your years. And I said, I was scared to death. I thought he was going to start stomping, and I was going to be injured and go in an ambulance to the hospital. He said, no, he said, you didn't argue with him. You weren't screaming at him or hollering. You just got up and dusted yourself off. And he said, remember all those men that came out of the stands and helped you? I said, yeah. He said, that's embedded in my mind. And I said, that makes 2 of us. What I did was I followed Dr. Hobbs' advice. I kept my hands to myself. All right? I didn't get all bent out of shape and pull a Barney, get the bullet out, put it in the gun. All right, buddy, you're going to jail. No. I just followed Dr. Hobbs' advice. Listen, folks, there are things you're going to face in 2023 that are out of your control. It may be that our nation goes through a time of unprecedented difficulty. You listen to all the economists and things that are going on, and it just doesn't look that good, does it? We went through a rough 2022. It could be, and I don't know. I'm not making any predictions, but I am saying this. There are things that are going to happen in your life out of your control. How are you going to deal with that? How are we going to deal with those things that are out of our control? Maybe the loss of the most dearest individual in your life. Things happen. People die. People get cancer. People are involved in automobile accidents. Things happen that you don't expect. It's out of your control and your realm to even try to control it. But what can you control? Your response to it. Your response to it makes all the difference. The Apostle Paul's response here that's recorded in Acts 27 is remarkable. It's remarkable. I want to share with you a few things here about the things outside of Paul's control, but under God's. And I just made a list from this passage of Scripture. Number one, government actions. They said, you're going to Rome. You made an appeal to Julius Caesar, you're going. And they set the time, and they put him on the boat. Ship passage, he didn't book it. That was all taken care of by the head of the prisons. You're going, and you're going on this ship, and you're going to go on this day at this time. Things totally out of his control. People's response to his warnings, I already mentioned that. Verses 9 through 11 and verse 21. The weather, Euroclydon. By the way, that means a tempestuous wind. Generally, in that part of the world, it comes out of the north, and it comes rushing down, and it can last for days and just be cause the Mediterranean to be so, well, you think you're going to die. And by the way, it still happens. It still occurs in that part of the world. We don't control the weather. We don't control hurricanes. We don't control tornadoes. We don't control hail storms that come our way. We don't have any control. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. None of you have control. You can go out and do your rain dance if you want to tonight. And I'm going to make the rain go away. No, you won't. You'll make a fool out of yourself. That's what you're going to do. Now, I've seen God answer prayer. Many, many times we have prayed, Lord, please undertake for us. Please help us to avoid damage to this ministry or to people's homes in our area. And the Lord has just been gracious and good. But who did that? It was God that did that. It was under His control, not mine. He didn't have to. So the weather. Number five, the soldiers' council. What did the soldiers say to the centurion? Kill them. Let's kill them all. These are prisoners. It's well within our power and authority to do so because we're going to be shipwrecked. They're going to get away from us. And then it's going to be our necks. Let's kill them. Was that under Paul's control? Did Paul have to make an appeal? No, the centurion responded by wanting to save Paul. And he said, no, leave them alive. Leave them alive. That was totally out of Paul's control. The centurion's decision, out of his control. The landing on an island of what kind of people, we're told? Friendly people. You know, I've been in some places, unfriendly places, that can scare you to death. I've been in India. I woke up in the middle of the night to hear drums banging. And I went downstairs. And I knocked on someone and said, what's going on? They were right outside the gate of the school, and I wanted to be ready. You know, run, jump on top of the roof. I don't know what I was going to do, but it was clanging and banging and so forth like that. And it said, oh, it's the Hindus. They're having their midnight parade. I said, midnight parade? It said, oh, yes, it's to awaken the good gods. All right, awaken the good karma. All right, so they're out there beating their drums, scaring off the evil spirits so that good karma would come to their land. I was totally shocked, and I talked to Dr. Cherion, and I said, next time, would you warn me about what's coming up on the calendar? He said, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. We do that at this time of the year. I said, we do? I said, that was the out, it was racket like you wouldn't believe. Out of my control. All right. What was I going to do? Throw coconuts at them? That was the only thing we had for defense there. But God was in charge and no harm came and we were preserved in that regard. Here they landed on an island with friendly people. And then he had to deal with this. Dr. Watt, you like this part, don't you? Yeah. Venomous snakes. Venomous snakes. Now look at it from Paul's perspective. We just got on this ship. I warned the people. They didn't listen to me. We've just lost the ship. We've lost everything that was in the ship. God has preserved us as a people. We've made it on shore. We're fixing to eat dinner. And then what happens? Some people would say, man, Paul, you're not living right. Isn't that what some people would say? But he was living right. And let this be a reminder, Christian. God never promised you a problem, trouble-free life. Never promised that to you. I was laughing the other day. I went out to my shop. I was looking for my trouble light. Anybody know what a trouble light is? Yeah. It's a light that never works when you plug it in. All right? And I pulled it up out of my shed, and the cord was 3 feet long, and rats had chewed the cord in half. And I said, this is a great trouble light. It's trouble, all right. Whoosh, into the trash can. Now, it wasn't worth it. They had chewed the wiring all up, and it was just, you can buy them for just a few dollars. I would have spent more trying to fix it than it was worth. But, you know, you think about a trouble light. That's a light you're supposed to use when you're in trouble. It's got a little guard on it. Hangs. If you get the really cheap ones, it never works right. It never stays locked. And it melts because the lamp is too hot for it. All right? Trouble light. Now, my point is this. Here's Paul He's had all these things happen, and then another thing happens, a venomous snake. But he just shook him off into the fire and moved on, and God preserved him. Why? Because God said, you're going to go all the way to Julius Caesar, and you're going to appear before him. And when God says that, he means it. He means it. We're going to get into this because I want us to see next time his responses to each one of these. His responses are lessons for us in the new year. I'm telling you, you've heard it from me. I'm not a prophet. I've just lived for 58 years. You're going to face things this year out of your control. But you can control your response to those things that happen out of your control. And you, now get this, can be a blessing to others in how you respond. Was Paul a blessing to those men on that ship? He sure was. He made sure they were fed. He made sure that they stayed in the boat until it was time to get out. And every one of them were spared. He was a blessing. And that's what you and I need to be this year. Don't you want to be a blessing? Don't you want to be a help? How do you do that? Well, you don't walk around with a sour face all the time with your knuckles dragging on the ground because you're just overwhelmed with all the troubles. Paul could have done that. Man, I could just see him. You know, like someone's picking a rock up. I can't believe this happened to me. It always happens to me. I get on a ship. How many times was he shipwrecked, by the way? According to Scripture. Three times, is that correct? Three times the Bible says he was shipwrecked. First time, all right, you don't know what to do. Second time, you got a little experience. Third time, he had it down, all right? Now, most of us have never been shipwrecked once, unless you were Dr. Hobbs. How many boats did he sink? Three or four out there in the pass. One time he said he was standing on the hulk that was down in the water holding a toolbox. And he began to realize this isn't going to work. As he was trying to save his tools. So he dropped the tools back down in the hold, down under the water, and came back and got them later. You know? Now most of us don't experience that. But Paul did. And Paul, on the third go around, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It was a blessing. This year, folks, you and I need to be a blessing. And that means we got to learn how to deal with trouble. We got to learn how to deal with problems. We got to learn how to deal with those things that are out of our control. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. What an account is given to us here in Acts 27. Lord, you know my heart's been thrilled as I have read through this passage over and over again and just marveling at the response of the Apostle Paul. How rebuked I've been because my responses would not have been the same. I pray that you would help us this year. Paul was able to be a blessing in a time of great trial. And we need to be that blessing to others. There are things we're going to face this year. There may be sorrow. There may be intense difficulty. There may be loss. We don't know what lies before us, but we do know that nothing is out of your control. Help us to learn how to deal with those things out of our control with a proper response. We thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. What a blessing it is to read it some 2,000 years later and learn from it. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, in this year to learn these valuable lessons. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.